So now I'm having some fun for a couple weeks. There's also some other wonderful people here to entertain you with their stories, because as I said, this is a storytelling show. And coming up, I'm just realizing now I forgot to get bios for literally everybody. So let's have everybody introduce themselves after I say their name. Coming up first, please welcome Allison Page. So professional I am.
That's okay.
Oh, hi, Doc. I'm mostly going to tell this to the dog. My name is Allison Page. I live in San Francisco, but I'm originally from northern rural Minnesota. I grew up on a farm, which totally figures into this story. And now I am mostly a person. I run a comedy company, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so here we go. Just launch into it. I was about 21 when this happened. That's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know is that I had a boyfriend. Most of my stories start like this, unfortunately. And he was not amazing, is all I will say about that right now. And then the third thing to know is that most of my free time was spent at that point in my life going out to our mutual friend's house in the middle of nowhere and getting really drunk on Southern Comfort and, Malibu, probably. And then we'd have a bonfire, and inevitably people would end up in this abandoned trailer house making out. So it was a really high-class thing that happens all the time. And so there was one night where my parents were out of town for what I'm pretty sure was the only time in history. And my boyfriend, we'll just call him Ricky, which is not his name, was staying with me while my parents were out of town. And he decides to go out to my friend's constant party. And I decide I'm not going to go because I'm tired. I'm tired all the time. I'm just that person. And so he goes first promising to not drink and drive, which I had made him promise to me many, many times before. And I had been known to take his keys and throw them into really tall grass. So he promises he won't do that. He drives out to the party. I go to sleep. I wake up at 2:00 in the morning. My dog was barking to let me know that Ricky has returned. And he comes inside, he rushes in, and he starts closing all the blinds in the house, locking all of the doors, and saying, they're coming for me, over and over again. But I assume that he's doing that because he's drunk and confused, he has no idea what's going on. And at that point, I am two things. Happy that he is alive, because he's clearly very drunk and drove like 10 miles, and super pissed because of also the same thing. So he does all of that, and then he switches his mood quickly, and he's hungry. He wants some food, and he starts shouting about how he wants some food. So I heat up some Chef Boyardee ravioli, a very tasty food, and it's super hot, and I give it to him in this big bowl, and it was just boiling, so it's like steaming. But he's drunk, so he's not really paying too much attention to things like that, and he starts trying to put the food in his mouth, and it's everywhere because it's hitting his face, and then he's recoiling because it's too hot. So it's falling on the table and on the floor and sauce is everywhere. So I start cleaning up the sauce that I can, and he gets really angry about that and picks up the bowl of ravioli, which had just been boiling moments before, and throws it at my face. He misses my face. It hits the wall to the left of my face and slides down really dramatically, right? Which was a very world-stopping, I can't believe this is happening type of moment, which there will be many more of in a second. And while he's doing that, he's using so much force that he falls out of his chair. He falls down to the floor, he's lying on his back, his legs are in the air like a little turtle, and he can't get back up. So I pick him up off the floor, drag him up the stairs, put him in my bed, go back downstairs, clean everything up, and fall asleep on the couch, because I'm not going back up there, right? So the next morning, I get up, and my parents are still gone, mercifully. I take my dog outside. And I turn and look at his truck. And the front of it is not there. It's just like completely like sliced off. And it's parked all crooked in the driveway. So I go upstairs and I say, what did you do? He has no idea what I'm talking about. I take him outside to look at the truck. And he has no explanation. He has no idea what happened. His memory's completely gone. He blacked out. He doesn't know. So I put him in the shower, which he sort of coiled up in the fetal position on the floor. And he gets out, we go back and look again, and say, whatever happened, you need to tell me. I'm assuming that he's not telling me because it had something to do with, you know, I don't know, a girl or something. I don't know what it was, but I assume he just was purposely not telling me. But in fact, he just couldn't remember. So at this point, I start receiving phone calls from people saying, is Ricky with you? Because the police are calling around trying to find him, and people are telling them that he's with you. So I'm panicking, right? He's obviously been in an accident. Something's happened. The police are now looking for both of us. My parents are out of town. That's the only good part. And I'm really freaking out because I'm assuming someone's dead. He's hit someone, and they're dead. We're going to prison. This is terrible. So while I'm panicking, he is drinking tons of water because he assumes that the police are eventually coming for him. He doesn't want them to know that he was really drunk. Also, he wasn't even technically old enough to drink at the time, and he had a bunch of tickets for that already. So he calls his mom, because that's what you do, and this is the advice that his mother gave to us. She said, is the truck still drivable? Yes, miraculously it was. So she said, have Allison get in her car. You get in the truck. You drive out on a dirt road somewhere. You're like, no, this is not good. You're right. Drive out on a dirt road somewhere. Get out of the truck. Push the truck in the ditch. Report the truck stolen. And everyone's good. What could go wrong, right? And I thought when he told me that we were going to look at each other and go, isn't that insane that someone would make a suggestion like that? But his response was, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this now. And I'm an absolute mess at this point because I can't believe that this is the proposition that's being made to me over and over again. And I don't know what happened between that point and me in my car. But I did get in my car. He got in his truck. Still don't know how he drove it. I don't understand. Drove out. He pushes his truck in the ditch. We get back in my car. We say nothing. We go back to my parents' house. And I'm just like, this is a ticking time bomb. Because my parents are going to come home at some point and wonder what the hell is going on. So we go back to my place. I'm mostly just crying at this point. He never did. He was just like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We have a plan. So he's been chugging water all day. This is like early afternoon at this point. And he decides we need to just go in to the police station, but that we have to have the same story. And as a person who watches a lot of true crime, I just know that this is not going to go well. This isn't going to end well. And also still in the back of my mind is, what happened? Who has he hit? Where is the wreckage? We spent some time driving around town trying to find the front of his truck and the license plate and all the pieces. Couldn't find it anywhere. Drove all the way back to my friend's place. Took the route home that a normal person would take to get to my parents' house. Absolutely nothing. Drove around all kinds of other streets. Absolutely nothing. So eventually we go into the police station after he has plotted out what we're going to tell them. And I am just, like, probably purple with anxiety at this point. We go in, and they said something to the effect of, we've been waiting for you. And he goes with them alone, that's what they say to do, and I'm waiting, just sitting there. And about 2 minutes goes by, and he comes back again. And he's like, let's go, we're leaving. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So we get back in my car and leave, and he says, the moment that he walked in, he started telling his story. Oh, you know, somebody stole my truck, I don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. And they cut him off and said, we already know what happened, so you can kind of chill on the story part. We found your license plate. We found, like, all the bits of your truck. And you hit a van on the side of the road that had been abandoned. There was nobody in it. Yeah. Whew. And the van was also a piece of shit, apparently. And so what happened is that he ultimately had to pay, I think, $200. They couldn't, and they couldn't prove that he was drunk at the time because it was, you know, middle of the next day. So it was a major win for him. And that's basically the story of how I almost went to prison for assisting what could have been some sort of murder. Yeah, that's it. So I've only told that story to like 3 people ever. So I'm glad that there's only 5 more people in the room. And there are only like 5 people on the whole internet, right? So this is like fine. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Allison. That was some hot tips on how to get out of if you're in a car accident, you need to ditch your car. The first show of this tour, I told people how I scammed free breakfast out of hotels. This seems worse somehow. But this is good. We're teaching people how to break the law. It's very on theme for this kind of punk rock bar we're in right now. I